Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Renee from San Diego.
My name's Renee, and I'm an alcoholic. And by the grace of God, I stand up here tonight in front of you, and you know, although I'm nervous, I feel at home. And you know, the first time I came here was in 1986. And after I found out that I couldn't continue smoking pot, I actually, you know, got clean and sober and was able to put 7 years together. And I could say that I was really active for the first three. Medium active for the next two, and for the last two, I barely even came and picked up a token for my year and, you know, my anniversary. And so after that, I was able to get a year and a half, a year, and it's taken me over a decade to get a year that I had last month. And, you know what, I just looked down at the sign and it says, do not touch the microphone, and that made me want to touch it. Can anybody relate? Anyway, you know, today I got to tell you, because I had a really emotional day today, and, it never once entered my mind to not come here tonight. And or maybe it did, but not really entered that far. That's because I'm connected. You know, and in all this time that I've been coming around these rooms, I never felt as connected as I do right now. You know, I grew up in a middle-class family right here in San Diego. My dad had been married once before. My mom had been married once before. And so I have three half-sisters. And I grew up with two of them. And I never knew that we weren't all, except my oldest sister, because she lived with her mother. But I never knew the other two had a different father. I mean, it was pretty seamless until junior high, you know, when my dad was out with my sister one day do her homework, and, you know, she got upset and said, you're not my dad. And, you know, that was the first time I ever saw my dad cry. And I only got 10 minutes, so I better speed it up. I always felt like I didn't fit. You know, I had friends, and I have the gift of gab. You know, I like jokes and can, you know, I'm quick, witty, and but I never, you know, that was my facade. That was my mask. And you know, I did all right in school up until I had to go to junior high. And for some reason, I gained like 60 pounds going into junior high. And I say for some reason, but, you know, I think it had to do with the fact that, you know, my mom's mother, my mom grew up in a small town on the coast of California. And her dad was known as the town drunk. And when my mom's mom died, I think I was 7, and at that same year, my oldest sister was 15 and a half, and she was having a baby, and my mom never recovered from her mother's death, you know, and you know, after grade school, I was the only child left at home. All my other sisters are older. I was the youngest, and my mom was an intermittent prescription pill addict. And so I never could bring anybody home because you never knew what was going to happen. And I never did any, you know, I got pretty good grades in school, but I never would participate in anything that I wasn't really good at, like that I stood out in, you know. So that kept me out of a lot of things. And also my weight. And then, you know, between ninth grade and 10th grade, I lost a lot of weight. So I went into high school, you know, feeling pretty good about myself again because it's all about what I look like. You know, and I got through that, and I started drinking when I was 17. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, but from the very first drink, I got drunk. And I liked how it made me feel, because I felt okay, and I finally could, whatever I was doing, I got my permission. You know, I got validation from it. I can remember that. You know, I felt okay about who I was and getting away with the whole thing, and I liked that. After high school, I prepared for high school. I got, you know, the California whatever scholarship, whatever, I belonged to that and everything, and I was prepared for college, except, you know, I had to go to a junior college. And that wasn't good enough. And also, you didn't have to go. You know, you could show up or not show up. They really didn't care. So that didn't really work out for me at first. for about 10 years. And, and I'm not proud of this either. And I used to think it was a really glamorous part of my story, but I was a drug dealer, and I was not any penny ante kind of drug dealer. I had, you know, a set clientele in large quantities, and I justified the fact that it was marijuana and it was organic, and you know, even though I did coke and crystal, but I didn't sell it. And, you know, I was always afraid my parents would find out. I wasn't really worried. I mean, I worried about the police as I got into it more. But, you know, I was worried about my parents finding out. And so I quit doing it. But my partner didn't. On February 11th, 1985, she was murdered. And, it's dangerous stuff. And 7 months after that, my mom took her own life behind an addiction. And it wasn't because it was... it was the pain, and maybe depression as I look back, but, you know, she took her own life, and it was the same way that my partner had been killed. And so, almost a year later to the day, no, I got no meeting on July 5th. I went to my first AA meeting the next year because I drove drunk. And one thing after those deaths, I didn't want to drive drunk anymore because, I had more respect for human life, so I took cabs to the bar and stuff, but I didn't drive. And at any rate, I got into the program, and, for a long time I thought, you know, who wouldn't drink if that happened to them? You know, I had, every reason to drink. And it took me about 3-4 years in this program to come to, you know, the truth that I was an alcoholic and an addict before that happened, you know. And it's come slow for me, you know, in here. And but I'll tell you, I found the God of my understanding here in AA. Because, you know, I went a week without drinking, and I couldn't do that on my own. When I realized that I had 7 days, I knew that there was more than that. God, get me out of this one, and I won't do it again. You know, and so I'm on my eighth step right now. And I've been on my eighth step for about, I'm looking at my sponsor, for about 4 months now. And, you know, when I came back to the program, I came to Battery Chargers. That's my home group. And Corey introduced herself to me. You know, I actually came there because I knew Leslie and Larry would be there. And neither one of them were there that day. You know, but people in that meeting stepped up. Tina was there. And people in that meeting stepped up and made me feel welcome. And thank God. Because you know what? All I know is that I had time to, you know, run my life amok over and over and over again. And so I do have time to go to meetings. And there is something different this time around. I feel connected. You know, I could never step up at a podium and talk from my heart. You know, I wanted to tell you the stories, and I wanted to act smart. I wanted to act like, you know, this section of the big book is really how much it impacts me and all this. And the truth is, a lot of it does. But it's you people out here that have helped me, you know, learn to love myself. And it was the hope I saw in Corey's eyes that that helped me believe that one more time I was gonna get out and get back on track. And God kept picking me up and putting me back on track. So I'm grateful for that, and grateful to you people. Thank you.